Well, I chose that hymn in particular in looking at the fifth commandment and honoring the authorities because often we think about politics and leaders in this country. We often get rather fearful or angry or depressed. And we have to always remind ourselves that the Lord is King. And we can rejoice and give thanks and sing and even triumph evermore. His kingdom cannot fail. Now, in connection with the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother, we're going to read from Lord's Day 39, which is on page 52, and then we're going to read from Romans 13 together. Let's first of all, from page 52, read together the answer to question 104. Here's the question. What is God's will for us in the fifth commandment? That I honor, love, and be loyal to my father and mother and all those in authority over me. That I obey and submit to them as is proper when they correct and punish me. And also that I be patient with their failings. For through them, God chooses to rule us. And then reading God's word from Romans 13. Read the first 8 verses. Romans 13, this is the word of God. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authorities? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due. Taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Well, brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord willing, in coming weeks will also be looking from Lord's Day 39 at the whole theme of parents and children. So from both sides, honoring our parents and also as parents, honoring our children and raising them in the fear of God. But I wanted us to look at the whole theme of, as the Catechism directs us, that the fifth commandment is not just about our submission to parental authority, but also any authority. That's how you find it applied in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament, and the Christian Church is applied in that way. And I want to think tonight, with the election coming up, how we submit to the governing authorities of today. You may have been involved in some conversations probably recently with others talking a lot about the recent murders, and I had a conversation with some unbelievers yesterday about what happened at the Cascade Mall, and as in the way these conversations usually go, there's an interest in the death penalty all of a sudden, and I guess there still is a death penalty in Washington, though it hasn't been exercised for quite a while. But one of those I was talking looked at me and said, "I'm a pacifist just like you." And I think he assumed that because I'm a Christian and because I love life, I must be a pacifist. And including against the death penalty and war and such. And I ended up saying that the type of world that he wants to live in, a world of peace without war and the death penalty, is a world that doesn't exist unless you come over into my worldview and expect a world like that eventually. A world, though, that's beyond this one. A world that is finally where everything wrong is put to rights because of Jesus Christ. Because here, we face terrible evil and all of its consequences. And that means that sometimes violence and evil must be met with like violence. And evil has consequences if a society wants to survive. Only through faith in Christ can we believe in a world finally redeemed and reborn, remade. I thought about that in connection with Lord's Day 39 and Romans chapter 13 and verse 4, that he does not bear the sword in vain. It's God's minister for good. If you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. It tells us that there's a lot at stake for us as believers and as a church in terms of how we honor our governments. Romans is such a great treatise on what the gospel is all about. I mean, it spends 11 chapters describing the beauty of the gospel. And then it starts to dig into how does this gospel transform you? Because the New Testament is never satisfied with mere head knowledge, but how does the gospel, Christ living in you, how does it transform you? How does it change the way that you live? And that includes our attitude and submission to the government. And in our day and age, increasingly, we need this message to know how to submit to the government. And in this, you find that the gospel really works. It really works. It works in terms, in every aspect of our lives, in terms of our work and in terms of our ethics, in terms of our career choices and choices for friends and spouses. The gospel works. It has something to say to every part of our lives, including submission to the government. And it doesn't matter if you're back in the first century in the Middle East under an increasingly cruel, despotic emperor, one after the other, those that increasingly persecuted the Church of Christ, or a Western industrialized country in the 21st century like America, and a slowly deteriorating constitutional representative democracy, or whatever we want to call the American experiment. No matter what the governments, the gospel works. It says something. It speaks to us in our day and age. We belong to another kingdom. A kingdom that, as we've sung, will not fail. But we pay taxes in this kingdom. I want to look at a couple points here this evening together. First of all, the divinely ordained role of the civil powers. And then secondly, how do we respond to those civil powers? So first of all, the divinely ordained role. And there are some really strong words, right, in terms of describing the government of the day. There's no authority, verse 1, except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. There's no authorities that exist today that are not appointed by God. We read later on that rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. I mean, that's how it's supposed to be. Of course, we know the history of our country, including our own. You know, sometimes the rulers are a terror to good works. And they promote what is evil. And yet God promises that as we submit to the government as much as we're able to, that God will bring good. Even those who were martyrs under emperors like Nero and others, they died for the sake of the gospel. And they believe they were dying for the sake of good and the glory of God. There is no authority except from God. To resist the authorities is actually to resist God. As long as we're not being forced to commit a sin, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Now, don't misunderstand me. There are times when the government actually requires a believer to sin, and then faithful believers have obeyed God rather than man and said no. You think of so many examples from history, including the Bible. You think about the Hebrew midwives. Pharaoh told to kill, you know, the sons born to Hebrew mothers. And they chose instead to save life. And they said no to the government. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar told them, you got to bow down before this image of me. And they said, no, we can't do that. They lived in Babylon. They submitted in many ways to the authorities, but they said, we can't do that. You're trying to force us to sin, and we're going to obey God rather than you. There's a fiery furnace? That's okay. We're willing to suffer that rather than disobey God. Daniel, we saw a few weeks ago with the command not to pray. He kept on praying. Peter and John were commanded no longer to preach in Christ's name in the book of Acts, and they said, we can't do that. We're great citizens, but we have to obey God rather than man. So don't misunderstand what Paul's saying here. There are reasons to resist the government if the government is requiring us to sin. But in other circumstances, no matter what the government, how evil they are, and how much we might want to critique them, we're called to resist the authority. And in that way, we're called to obey the authority, and in that way, to obey God. Well, you know the saying, a country gets the government that it deserves. And we usually tend to say that when we get a government that we don't agree with. We get a president, or we get senators or judges that we believe are promoting evil. If we get either Clinton or Trump in the upcoming election, this country, we can say, is just getting, you know, the leader that it deserves. I don't think that's actually true. Based on the sins of our nation, I think we have gotten governments and leaders that are better than what we deserve in the providential goodness of God. Despite all the bad stuff, and there's plenty of it, you think about the world before the flood, where the thoughts of mankind's heart was evil continually, just evil all the time. And I think we, in God's goodness and His patience, we actually get a better government that we deserve. We think of voting this coming November, and the old adage is coming up all the time, right? That we have to, Christians have to choose the lesser of two evils. It's because of God's grace that evil is not what it could be by His restraining hands upon the devil and his forces, and just the cause of evil. Things are not as bad, certainly at all, as they could be. We have freedoms and opportunities that much of the world still dreams about, and by God's grace, we'll have those for many years to come. You think about Paul's day that he's writing in. You got Emperor Claudius that was already coming down on the church, had kicked Christians out of Rome. Christians were just a sect of the Jews, not even a recognized religion like the Jewish people were. The Jewish people were persecuted, and the new sect that they considered of the Christians was also increasingly persecuted. Paul is writing just about 5 years before the rise to power of Nero, and after a number of years in power, Nero started a terrible time of persecution against the Christian church, burning them as lights in his gardens. The Roman government crucified the Savior, the Christ. And this is written in those days. These are God's ministers to you for good, so submit to them as much as you are able. And we tend to, I think, forget to be thankful for God's providence in our governments, as much as we might critique it. I've talked to a number of you about an upcoming opportunity I have to do some teaching in the country of India at the end of October. And I was actually supposed to go to, back in April, a different part of India, the eastern part of India that borders Myanmar, Burma. And that trip was canceled for myself and a number of others because of concerns over tribal disputes. And there's just a lot of tribes vying for power in that part of the country. There's a lot of friction and disagreement and disorder, so those trips were called off. We have to remember just how thankful we should be for the government that we have in our nation, the history that we have. And we have to remember and be careful to remember, no matter how difficult things may get, how restrictive, even persecution coming to our country, attacks on religious liberty, that we are under God's control. And no matter what happens, King Jesus is on the throne. And so, as the hymn puts it, we are to rejoice over King Jesus' rule. And he is working out his purposes in our lives, in the life of our church, and in this nation. Jesus says to Pilate, as Pilate asserts his power, "Don't you know that I have power either to crucify you or to let you go?" And Jesus said, "You have no authority unless my Father in heaven gives it to you." We're to have that kind of confidence. We're to submit to the governing authorities as we submit to God. It's interesting that in a number of stories that I've read about persecuted Christians, those who are being restricted and oppressed, sometimes thrown into prison, they rarely complain about their governments. They grow up expecting to be persecuted. You read through the New Testament, that's the expectation of the apostles. You're going to confess Christ, you're going to be persecuted. We have this 300-year reprieve in our nation, in the Western world, where the church has not been persecuted, but that's the exception. Now, those persecuted Christians, they don't bother really complaining about their government, whereas we spend a lot of time complaining about our government, a whole lot more than persecuted Christians do. My experience with a lot of American Christians is that they speak with much more passion about politics than about the cross. That's not how it should be. Our confidence is in our Savior. Our confidence is in our King who has come, dealt with evil, and will return again to bring in the new world. We're not to look to politics to do more than it's supposed to do. We're not to look for salvation in politics. We're to put our faith and trust in God and submit as much as we're able to the authorities that God has placed over us. So first of all, the divinely ordained role of the civil powers. And then secondly, how do we respond? How do we submit? How do we honor and fear those who are worthy of honor? Well, we might summarize it with Paul's words at the end of verse 3, "Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same." In places like Jeremiah 29, we read of God's attitude towards Christians living in pagan societies under pagan rulers. Jeremiah 29, verse 7, "Seek the peace of the city where I've caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for in its peace you will have peace." God actually told his people in punishing them to put themselves under Babylon, under the governing authorities of Babylon, and that he would bless them there. "I'm bringing Babylon to punish you for your sins, but now go along with it. Put yourself under their authority, submit to them, and I will do good to you." And now he even goes further and says, "Seek the peace of the city, seek the welfare of the city that you're going to." I think that's what Paul is saying here. Do what is good, and you will have praise from the rulers. Pray to the Lord on behalf of our city and our state and our country. The welfare of this city, of this country, we will also find our welfare. It's one of the reasons why we're looking to invite or hold a task week next year, having youth come and serve in our community, teens all serving in the name of Christ, a way of actually serving our community with the mercy of the Lord Jesus. And I think we should perhaps commit ourselves to restraining from complaining about our governments until we actually start doing something for the good of our society and our community. Don't you find yourself easily complaining about our government? But how much are we doing for the good of our nation and our local communities? I was in the Hagens yesterday, and I noticed as I was walking by the donut case. This is good news. The donut case was empty. It's good for me. But I saw the someone working in the bakery there. And I said, "Where are all the donuts?" And she said, "Somebody came in and bought them and brought them to the law enforcement officers over by the mall and cleaned them out of donuts." And of course, I respond, "Well, that was a great thing to do. Well, what are we doing for our society? Why didn't one of us do something? Maybe you did. I don't know." But scriptures speak about the church, Christians being salt and light. Talks about salting this world with gentleness, with goodness. And otherwise, we're just different opinions out there fighting with contrary opinions. We're just different factions, one faction among many fighting, complaining on Facebook. Just different biases. We're supposed to be something different altogether. We belong to a kingdom not of this world. Different principles, different ideas. Different ideals and purposes. Different goals. Our life is not caught up in what we gain from this world. We can't take it with us to the next world, which is the one we're living for. And so we should stand out as something different altogether. Stop complaining and actually work on behalf of the city that we live in. Perhaps drop our criticism until we're ready to love and to love until it hurts us. Are we at least asking these questions, how we might better serve our community? What's our response to a government that disappoints us and a society that's deteriorating? Are we at least talking about it, praying about it, and seeking to be a blessing? Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Paul writes later in our text here, verse 5, "Therefore you must be subject." He's God's minister. That's the authorities. "Not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake." The government has nothing to do with our conscience. The government has no right to our conscience. He wants us to be an alternative kind of culture, living in submission to God's word, but also for the good of the society God has placed us in. Not just banging heads with the culture. I mean, I mentioned Facebook. Have you ever followed a Facebook argument? I think I've been on Facebook too much the past couple of days just because trying to follow the events that unfolded before us over the past couple of days. But, you know, follow it after the recent murders, some of the conversations, just the hatred and the anger and the lack of logic and lack of respect for people. And we're not supposed to be charging in there with our own kingdom, but with the kingdom of Christ, a kingdom of light, of truth, and life. We should be known for something really different. You think about all the great martyrs of the faith, going all the way back to people like Justin Martyr and Polycarp and Latimer and Ridley and England and so many others who were martyred for their faith. They defended themselves as the best citizens of the country they lived in. The country that persecuted them, opposed them, governing authorities that threw them in prison and finally hanged them or burned them. They were known as the best citizens who lived and prayed for the welfare of the city. We should be able to say that as well. Let's spend less time on the internet. Let's spend less time complaining, less time in criticism, and more time building up our minds and how we might respond scripturally, biblically, kingdom-oriented as a Christian people and a Christian church. The world loves to get its soundbite news and its response to the news in soundbites with just a tiny little bit of truth full of all kinds of error. It's meant to entertain and cause fear and anxiety and unrest. May we be much more thoughtful and careful and compassionate and wise in our response and our submission to the governing authorities. Let's be the best citizens that Jesus Christ enables us to be in this day and age. You think about Paul, who longed to go to Rome. In the book of Romans, he often writes about longing to go to Rome. I mean, he wanted to go to a lot of places, but he wanted to go to Rome, the center of the empire, and preach the gospel. Well, you probably know how he ended up going to Rome. He went as a prisoner, appealing to Caesar. He went as a prisoner under house arrest. As far as we know, he died in Rome, under arrest. Can you imagine him in his experience and what happened to him complaining about the government? Paul didn't have time for that. He was too busy going about the work of the kingdom. He didn't spend his time criticizing the government. He appealed to the law sometimes. But this is the sort of thing that he worked for. Chapter 12, verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Paul was confident the Lord was in charge of his life. He was ready to die if he needed to for the sake of the gospel. And what happened? Well, at one point in one of his letters, I forget which one, he greets another church, not only from himself, but also from those who were of Caesar's household, who had come to faith under his ministry. Because he wasn't complaining and criticizing, he was serving the kingdom, honoring the authorities and serving Christ. For me to live is Christ, he wrote, and to die is gain. May that be true of us this week as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just ask that you would give us a kingdom-oriented perspective on the nation that we live in, and the authorities over us, local and state and federal. Lord, we pray for them. We ask for your richest blessing upon them. We ask that you would use them to reward good and to punish evil. We pray that you would move their hearts to enact and defend laws that would promote what is right and just and good. That they would be committed to the core documents of our country that they've committed themselves to. We pray, Lord, that you would restrain evil in our government. And Lord, we pray that we might have the right attitude towards the governing authorities, whatever they might be, and whatever they may be doing, that we may obey you first. But Lord, in obeying you, we would also have the right attitude, the right kind of honor, obedience towards those. That would show in the way that we speak of them, and the way that we speak to them, the way that we treat them. Give us a love, Lord, for the city that you place us in. We want to seek its welfare. We want to reflect, Lord, a different kingdom than the kingdom of this world. This world is pursuing hope in money and possessions. It's worshiping all kinds of idols. We serve the one true living God. We want to reflect that. We want to properly show forth that kingdom and invite others into it. We pray that you would enable us to be careful and wise and compassionate, considerate in our role as citizens of this country. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're gonna